Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
Hello, everyone. Elise here. Hope you had a lovely Labor Day weekend. Millie and I certainly did, which is why what you're about to hear is a re-release of our $50,000 in a Shoebox episode. It's a classic. It's a banger. It's a much beloved ep among Grass Nation. There's some light editing to it to take out things that are no longer relevant. We originally debuted our segment Polititiktok in this episode, and then we talked about Joe Biden's campaign for like 10 minutes, and I was just like, why would you guys, you know, why would you guys want to hear that now? It's not relevant. So a lightly edited re-release of our iconic episode, $50,000 in a Shoebox, awaits you. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you don't have to.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with our latest test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series, mm-hmm. Search History. We go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review.
Absolutely. If you've left us a 5-star review on Spotify, leave us one on Apple Music.
Yeah.
If you've left us one on Apple Music, leave us one on Spotify.
You know, the Grass Nation contains multitudes.
Exactly.
And you can exist on both, and we believe in you.
Exactly. That was beautiful. Beautiful, Millie.
Thank you.
It's just us this week, which is very exciting.
No guest.
It's very exciting. I mean, we love our guests.
We love our guests.
But it's also nice to do a little kiki, just the two of us.
Just the two of us. And, you know, so we can go a little longer. I've heard a lot of feedback about the pillow discourse that I shared about the guy with the pillow.
Yeah.
And I need everyone to know that the story only gets worse from there. And we're not going to get into that because guess what?
We have a lot of topics today. We have so much to discuss. So I'm going to dive us right into the discourse.
Wow.
Because,
jump.
Because this
cannonball.
Discourse, cannonball, we're diving right in. This discourse is so deep.
Yeah.
And it is so nuanced. We are talking about the cuts. I was scammed out of $50,000 article.
It can happen to anyone, Elise.
Can it? That's what we'll answer. We're going to let you, the readers, be the judge if what I'm about to describe could happen to anyone. So, okay. In case you don't know, last week, The Cut, which is a part of New York Mag, published an article by their financial advice columnist, Charlotte Cowles. Keep that in mind. She's the financial advice columnist. The article was entitled, "The Day I Put $50,000 in a Shoebox and Handed It to a Stranger, I Never Thought I Was the Kind of Person to Fall for a Scam." So before we get into it, as you can see, guys, this is going to be a deep discourse.
Yeah.
Just title alone.
Insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
So before we get into it, and I am borrowing this phrase from Scam Goddess, but Millie, what is your relationship with online scams? Have you been scammed? Have you almost been scammed?
Yeah, I was scammed earlier this year. The scams are getting, like, advanced.
They are.
They're getting advanced. It's not just, like, before it's just, like, somebody getting a call. You get a call. Oh, your car's warranty. Okay, well, I don't have a car.
We're the IRS.
We're the IRS. Okay, no. But I got, you know me. You know me, and you know I have an addiction to Chinese websites that sell really great dupes of luxury goods. Not Absolutely. Even dupes. Like, I believe they're from the factories. And you will get random emails from whatever. So I got this, and I get a lot of packages. I was mm-hmm. getting a lot of packages at that point. So I got this thing said, we tried to deliver your package and we missed it. We need you to, like, reconfirm your address.
That is such... I've gotten that scam before, and the only reason I didn't fall for it was because I did not have an incoming package. Yeah. At that moment. And but that is such a, that's a very slick one that they
do. It's a good one. They use the same website. It's like USPS.com instead of USPS.org, which if you don't know USP or .gov or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and it, and I kept entering, I entered two different credit cards. I entered all this stuff, like, and it was like, kept putting holds on my card, like nothing crazy, but they just would put holds. And then I called USP, but then they're like, the only way that I found out was when I actually called USPS, and they're like, it's a scam. A lot of people are getting falling into it. Like, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to cancel all your cards. Or like, and get a new card for all of them.
So, did they get any money from you? Or
there was like $1 holds and okay. like, you know, so nothing.
So
big.
Not $50,000 cash in the shoebox?
No.
I came very close to falling for a similar one recently because I got a text from my bank that looked just like texts that you get from your bank. And it said something that was like, did you just try to withdraw like $2,000 or something? And it had in the text the correct last four digits of that account.
Wow.
So it got me, and I was about to click. They were like, if not, click this link, right? And I was about to click the link, and then I just had this thought where I was like, I'm going to go look at this account and see if $2,000 have been.
I would have clicked the link. Yeah.
I was so close, and then I just had this moment of like, check the account. And when I checked it, there was like literally nothing wrong with it. It would have been overdrafted.
Yeah,
let me tell you, it's a checking. It would have been overdrafted. It would have been a big problem if someone tried to withdraw $2,000 from that account. And so I looked, and then I saw that, and then I did a little Googling, and I was like, damn, this is like an elite scam.
Yeah.
And it really got me. So I do think that, you know, scammers are out here.
Yeah, and
they are getting good. They are getting advanced. They can, like, spoof numbers. Yeah. They can do a lot
of technology there.
So there is an argument to be made for that anyone can fall victim of a scam.
Anyone. And also, like, there's a really good podcast. Again, I love the podcast. This is Uncomfortable. And they talk about, like, a lot of people get scammed on dating sites. Like, that's also, like, a whole other thing, too. Like, not just catfish, but, like, catfishing and getting your money, too. So, again, it's a very sympathetic, empathetic thing.
It can happen to anyone.
Scamming. But.
But. Can it happen to anyone in the way that I am about to describe? So, Millie, I'm going to go through the story as it was told mm-hmm. in the cut. And I want you to give me just a little bloop. Whenever you would get a red flag, you as the average person mm-hmm. who, as we've both admitted, can fall prey to a scam.
Yeah.
Like, just give me a bloop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the story begins this past Halloween. Cals receives a call from...
Halloween bloop.
That's a spooky day.
That's a spooky day.
There are tricks.
Yeah.
People are tricking you on that day. You have to... It could be anybody. Mm-hmm. No one's who they say they are on Halloween.
Exactly.
Okay. So she gets a call from Amazon, from an Amazon customer service agent.
Okay.
This person on the phone tells her that there was unusual activity with her Amazon account and asks if she purchased $8,000 worth of MacBooks and iPads. So Kels is like, no. But she looks at her account history. She doesn't see any of those purchases. She looks at her bank statement. Her bank statement looks fine, kind of similar to how I did with mm-hmm. my scam. everything appears to be okay with her accounts. But the customer service agent tells her that according to her records, there are actually two Amazon business accounts that are in her name. And this customer service agent, who said her name was Krista, explains that, like, this is common fraud that's been happening on Amazon, that Amazon's dealing with a lot of identity theft and false accounts, and that they are working with a liaison at the FTC. The Federal Trade Commission. And that she's going to forward Cal's now to the FTC. So Cal stays on the line.
Okay. Bloop.
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 That's a bloop for me.
First of all, I would have said bloop with Amazon calling me.
I think that that's a bloop. And I also do think that it's like, if you tell me someone's stealing from me and I look at my accounts and nobody's stealing from me.
That's a bloop. Too. So we got like 3 to 4
we got
bloops
a couple
already.
Bloops. So.
And then the forwarding to the FTC. That's a bloop.
That's a bloop. So she gets forwarded to the FTC, quote unquote. The investigator identifies himself as Calvin Mitchell, and he shares his badge number. There's a lot of, like, sharing of badge numbers in this, as if that's a foolproof, like, way.
Yeah, and honestly, that's a huge bloop, because if you deal with cops, they don't like to share their badge numbers.
No.
That's the last thing they'll share.
And also, it's like, okay, that anyone could say a random string of numbers and be like, that's my badge number. Like, okay. Anyway, but whatever. So he asks her to confirm some personal info, and this guy has her address, he has her birthday, and he has the last 4 digits of her social.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, that scares her, but also your address, your birthday, and the last 4 digits of your social are flying around on the dark web. Like, yeah. Again, in my scam, they had the last 4 digits yeah. of my bank account.
Yeah.
So that information is basically out there for all of us.
Sadly, I mean, this is another, like, crazy tangent, but, I mean, not tangent, but, like, this one guy, I get a text on my phone, and he's like, is this Millie? And I'm like, yes, who's this? And he's like, I'm a huge fan. I got your number. And then he sends me a screenshot of from a website. And it has every address I've ever stayed at and my phone
That's
number.
That's so scary.
And all that stuff. But, like, this was a nobody.
That's really scary. I one time went to scrub myself from sites like that.
You have to
because
pay money,
it freaked
yeah.
me out. Yeah, and it was scary because I looked
money.
And, like, they had all my old addresses. They had, like, my parents' addresses.
Yeah, my
they
parents.
Had my, like, my family. I was like, this is really messed up.
They
so.
Had, like, every roommate that I've ever had on that thing. So it's like, and this is, like, a nobody rando guy. And then I was able to, like, look up all my friends on this
yeah.
website. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Just a PSA. If you're a fan of someone, don't look up
don't
their phone
that.
Number and then text them and
yeah,
scare
don't
them.
Do that.
That's
don't
not,
do that. Yeah.
That's not kind of a good way to connect.
If you're a fan of me, send me money.
Yeah, exactly. Look up Millie's Venmo.
Yeah, my Venmo is pretty public. That's
Millie's
very
public with her Venmo information.
And
send her a little Venmo. Say, hey, I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's I'll accept.
That I think anyone
but
would
yeah,
accept.
So,
but phone
okay.
number, no. Okay.
So she got spooked. The guy gave her a badge number.
He tells her all this information about herself. And then he tells her that 22 bank accounts, 9 vehicles, and 4 properties have been registered in her name, with the accounts having wired more than $3 million overseas to Jamaica and Iraq. So that's a bloop for me.
Yeah, two random ass countries.
That's a bloop for me because I'm just like, but I'm not missing $3 million. Like, isn't the point of stealing my identity and sending money around so that, like, you can steal my money? Like, I'm not, and I'm like, why am I just hearing about this because of Amazon business accounts?
I know. I would say, like, if I did fall for that, I would just ask, you know what I mean? In the way that when I fell for the USPS scandal or scam, I went and called USPS.
Yeah.
I would call Amazon, or I would call my accountant, or I would call and ask.
Yeah, I think at that point, it's like, okay, I'm going to hang up with you and I'm going to call the police,
yeah.
I guess. Like, I don't, whatever. Like, I don't know exactly, but anyway, so she's told very alarming information.
Yeah, Jamaica and Iraq already is like...
That's not even the worst of it. Yeah. Then he tells her that a car was rented in her name and abandoned near the border of Mexico with blood and drugs in the trunk.
That's a lot.
So, and then, oh, and then he claims that her name and social security number were found in a New Mexico raid for cash and drugs. So she's being told that she's involved in a massive international criminal
thing.
This,
like, white woman who lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and she's never heard of any of this before. So obviously, like, to have some compassion, that is a very scary phone call. Like, you, I understand being kind of shocked by having someone call you and say, hey, you've been sending money to Jamaica and Iraq, and a car that was rented in your name was full of blood and drugs on the border. Like, that would give me pause.
But would it give you pause if you got that information from an Amazon business representative?
That's the thing, is that I just feel
to the
like
FTC. What, also, why does the, like, does FTC deal with that?
Yeah, why would the FTC be giving you this information? Also, like, yeah, I just feel like I would hear this from an officer of the law, yeah, like, who, like, a agent of some kind would be coming to my house in person. But either way, she is very scared. He says there are warrants for her arrest in Maryland and Texas for cyber crimes, money laundering, and drug trafficking. He tells her that everyone is in her life is a suspect. That's a bloop. That's a big bloop. And then he asks her how much is in her bank account, to which she replies, a healthy 80 grand.
Oh my God. What a duck.
So, okay.
But also, right, if you have all this information, why don't you know
how much is in my bank account?
They can do that. They can check.
And why is there 80 grand in my bank account if someone has stolen my identity and wired millions of dollars all around the world and is renting
to
cars
Iraq,
in my name and filling the cars with blood and drugs? Like, how do I have 80,000 in checking? So,
also, 80,000 in checking, can you imagine?
I honestly can't.
That would solve...
I can't even picture it.
10,000 in checking for me right now would solve immense amount of problems.
It would solve my hunger.
Yeah.
It would certainly, and maybe not world hunger,
but
it would
solve
hunger at my apartment.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the FTC guy goes, you know what? We gotta connect you to the CIA.
Oh my God.
So that's a big bloop as well, I would say. So number one, and I don't expect people to know this offhand, but the CIA can't operate within the United States. It's only a foreign, it only operates outside of the US. So if anyone calls you and says, and you're a US citizen and you're in the US and they say they're the CIA, that's not correct.
See, I didn't know that.
And here on the pod, you learn new things
every
day.
You learn new things. This is not
the
a science pod.
The CIA isn't going to call you.
The CIA is not going to call you.
The FBI could call you.
FBI, yes.
But the CIA is not going to call
you. CIA, no.
But the CIA calls her.
Okay.
And she is transferred to an agent named Michael Serrano, who also provides a badge number. So she's just getting phone calls by people who are like, hey, this is Michael. And then they're just giving her a random string of numbers. And she's
okay. God.
Gotta also, be legit.
Like,
he said a bunch of numbers.
Like, how do they live with themselves?
Oh, I mean, that's the biggest question.
Yeah, that's
and
they're doing it to old people. It's just fucked up.
Yeah, I actually do know a family friend who was a victim of a scam kind of similar to this, and that it was like very intense, and the person on the phone was like convincing him that like his family was in danger. But the reason that that scam worked is because he suffered a traumatic brain injury. Aww. And like his mental faculties are not the same as they were from before, and they were able to scam like 10 grand from him, and it's like the saddest story ever. And it's just, again, I hope 10 grand was worth your fucking soul.
No,
dude.
These people have no soul. Like, that's the thing, is like,
it is,
they just really do prey on like the well, not your friend, but like stupid people, vulnerable people.
The
like
thing is,
yeah
it's like they make, because how many scam calls do you get a day now? Also, like, it's actually crazy. And I
don't answer my phone.
No, I can't. I remember I saw a thing recently that was like, Gen Z doesn't answer their phone. And I'm like, because every phone call is a scam.
Yeah.
It's like some guy yelling at you saying, you're going to be arrested. We found a car full of blood that's got your name on it. Like, It's because they make hundreds of phone calls a day hoping to find one person
who... And they all leave voicemails.
Yeah. And they're hoping to find one person who is, yeah, like an elderly person, someone who maybe, for whatever reason, their mental faculties, like
paranoid,
my family friend, they don't have it all together. They're trying to find a vulnerable person who will fall
for this.
Or just
somebody who doesn't know.
Or maybe someone who's a financial advisor for a major publication. Either way. Okay, so.
So the CIA calls.
The CIA. She's on the phone with the CIA. So she started on the phone with Amazon.
Yeah.
Then she went on the phone with the FTC. Now she's on the phone with the CIA. And the CIA, at this point, she gets a bloop. She gets a little suspicious. So she asks
him. Thank God.
She does ask him to prove that he's from the CIA. And so here's a quote from the article. "I completely understand," he said calmly. "He told me to go to the FTC homepage and look up the main phone number. Now hang up the phone and I will call you from that number right now." I did as he said. The FTC number flashed on my screen and I picked up. "How do I know you're not spoofing this?" I asked. "It's a government number," he said, almost indignant. "It cannot be spoofed."
Okay, well then I'll call it.
Yeah, exactly. So then let me call you, right? Because that has to be the answer. But basically, she says, like, they have that interaction, and then he just keeps plowing ahead, which is probably their tactic, is, like, anytime someone has questions, you kind of answer, and then you keep plowing ahead with the information. So she says that, like, she doesn't have time to even, like, Google if that's true, that you can't spoof a government number, which I guess it's not, and that seems crazy and, like, something we should maybe address.
Work on, yeah.
But there's a lot on the to-do list for the government right now, so I don't know if they're gonna get to that, but it would be good to add to the list.
Yeah.
So then the CIA agent says, like, so this is also another major bloop. The CIA agent tells her, "You can't tell anyone about this. You can't even tell your husband, because if you tell your husband, then he's gonna be implicated, and we actually are protecting him by not telling him that any of this is going on. And he can be roped into the investigation. Anyone you tell can be roped into the investigation. And also, if you talk to an attorney, I can't help you anymore." And it's like, that to me, that is my immediate hang up. Because there is no crime it's actually the opposite. That you are always entitled to an attorney.
Yeah.
So
even if you did nothing wrong, if you talk to police, you have, like, if you say, "I want a lawyer."
Yeah. And that's not allowed to be, like, held against you as something suspicious. Everyone is entitled to representation. So
I'm getting for
this for this person to say, "If you talk to an attorney, we can't help you anymore." It's like, oh, you're a scammer. But that didn't bloop for her. He says the matter was urgent and that the CIA needs to freeze all of her bank accounts to protect her, and that she needs to go to the bank immediately and pull out what she thinks she would need for daily expenses for a year. So he says, "What do you think you would need to support yourself?" And she says, "Probably 50K. And he goes, "Amazing. Go to your bank and pull out 50K in cash. Keep me on speakerphone the whole time." She does this. She goes to her bank. She pulls out $50,000 in cash. She has kind of another moment of doubt as she's heading home with the box full of $50,000 in cash. But Michael, he sends her his badge number again. He says, "I told you my random string of numbers. You've heard the random string of numbers." And he said, "I don't tell anyone else. You can trust me. I will help you. Or you can hang up and put yourself and your family in danger. Do you really want to take that risk with a young child?" So that's
fucked for $50,000,
I
will.
I mean, like, again, what do you mean I can't talk to an attorney?
Yeah, no,
that's crazy. That's the biggest thing for me. So then Michael then tells her to put the $50,000 in a box, to tape the box shut, and take a picture of it, and that his colleague is going to be there soon to pick up the box from her.
I'm sorry, but if I was her husband, I'd divorce her. Very rarely am I on a man's side. Yeah, but if
I don't want to speculate, I would imagine that there's couples counseling happening. I think, like, we're going to get a really good Esther Perel episode pretty soon.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Doug. Not even. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
So he goes, my colleague will be there soon.
This is worse than gambling addictions.
I know.
Because gambling, at least there's like some kind of thrill or high.
Yeah, you're, and it's also like, idiot. Oh, you have an addiction. Like, this is a sickness. There's like an empathy level there, I guess. This is tough. So,
okay.
She says, the colleague will be there soon. She says, I need to see the colleague's badge. She's I need to receive another fake string of
getting,
numbers.
She's getting bloops, but they're not in
but
the right direction.
She's not listening to her bloops, and you gotta listen to, you have to listen to your bloops.
She needs to go touch grass.
She needs to go touch, she actually very desperately needed to hang up the phone and go touch grass in this moment.
She needed to hang up the phone or talk to the bank. Hey, is this something that has happened before?
Yeah.
To the bank?
Hey, so I'm pulling out $50,000 in cash. Do you think that that's a good idea? Like, as my bank, let me just give you a little bit of information and you tell me if you think this is a good idea. She does say that, like, the bank teller seemed pretty skeptical of why she was doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine being the bank teller and, like, seeing this lady who's, yeah, again, just, like, a rich Brooklyn white lady who's, like, probably looks completely panic-stricken. She's on speakerphone with the CIA. And she's like, I need $50,000 cash. And I think the bank teller was probably like, I don't have time to do this today. And
I don't make enough money
to tell this lady she's not on the phone with the CIA.
Oh my God. So
he goes, he's undercover. He doesn't have a badge.
Oh my God.
And she's like, of course. So then she meets this man out in front of her house. He pulls up in an SUV. He's wearing a baseball cap. She puts a shoebox full of $50,000 in the back of his SUV.
Does she even take a picture of the license plate?
No. 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 She puts $50,000 in cash in the back of an SUV. She then gets a picture from Michael of a treasury check for $50,000 that they're supposedly going to send her. Michael goes, you did great. I'll call you tomorrow. Hangs
Never
up.
Calls.
She takes her kid trick-or-treating, comes back, and it all hits her. And she's like, fuck. Oh, fuck. I just put $50,000 in cash in a random SUV driven by a guy in a baseball cap. And I don't think Michael was a CIA agent at all. She has been scammed. Millie?
Now, don't Millie, what can I say?
It's time for me to ask you the question. Could this happen to you? Do you think this could happen to anyone?
No.
No.
No, and this blew up on the internet, and
yes,
everyone was making fun of her. And it was sad, but also hilarious.
So here's the thing about the response. So like you said, yeah, it blows up online. There are some people who are like, who buy into the framing of the article, which the framing of the article is very like, it could happen to anyone. Look at me. She spends a lot of time saying like, I'm smart, I'm educated, I'm the financial advice columnist.
Yeah.
Here's one quote, like, how could I have been such easy prey? Scam victims tend to be single, lonely, and economically insecure with low financial literacy. But I am none of those things. I'm closer to the opposite. I'm a journalist who had a weekly column in the business section of the New York Times. I've written a personal finance column for this magazine for the past 7 years. I interview money experts all the time and take their advice seriously. I'm married and talk to my friends, family, and colleagues every day. So the article is very much this, like, how could it happen to me situation? And that's why I think that the response was so negative.
Yeah.
Because people are like,
you
don't show any self-reflection here. This is not an it could happen to anyone type scam.
Yeah.
The ones that we talked about up top where you accidentally click a link or like you enter your stuff into the wrong website,
yeah,
or whatever.
Online scams can happen, not $50,000 in a thing.
In a shoebox to the CIA. Like that, this is actually a crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling about it is like, this could have been a really good and interesting article if she just told the story and then had a bunch of self-reflection and was like, this is what I learned about myself. Like, I thought that I was above this, but I'm not. And actually, like, the reason I fell for this was X, Y, and Z. I realized I, like, wanted to believe I was a part of something. Or I don't know. There are reasons why this person fell for this that are unique to that person. Yeah. And she doesn't really explore any of that. She just wants to say, like, I'm a genius with a husband and money. And it's crazy that, like, if it could happen to me, it could happen to anyone. And it's like, no, there are some unique factors to you that made it so that you put $50,000 in a shoebox in the back of an SUV.
Are you going to read the comment? Because I want to read the comment.
You should read the comment.
The comment that basically sums it up for me and why, like, which is what I sent you. Is just incredible. Give me 1 second to pull it up. So this was a comment on the article, because you can reply to the article, and people, obviously it went viral and people were pretty fucking pissed. And somebody put, like, made a Bella Baxter joke, which is pretty funny, which poor thing. Bella put the bunny in the shoebox. Okay. Okay. So this is the comment, and this comment, like, has been making its rounds on the internet, and I loved it. And this is by Mr._Piss. But it's honestly
Mr. Piss.
The whole lead-in about how she's not like the poor, stupid, lonely people she imagines to be easily scammed had a certain je ne sais quoi that I instantly clocked as mutterings of an effete, inbred child of rich people. And my ability to clock that sort of thing from the get is one of the few things I like about myself. Her husband works at a nonprofit. She's 39, but yet they live in a $4 million house in Prospect Heights. She's related to the Roosevelts. Ivy League is a given, but she feels the need to highlight it on her personal site. Her child's named Ripley. The whole thing is another rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic of increasingly hubristic, insulated failed sons and failed daughters are discovering the otherwise object or the otherwise object permanence level of obvious lessons the rest of us understand. You think Amazon will white glove you over to the CIA in a few minutes? Tell me you don't do your own taxes without telling me you don't do your own taxes. This person is so uncalibrated in their ability to navigate the world that their ability to generalize any intellectual output for anyone other than her similarly 0.1% situated friends is completely shot. Let her go be on the board of a do-nothing charity. This game is up.
I mean, points were made. Mr. Piss, points were made.
And that's what, you know, again, it's what you said. It's these people who are so fucking rich, so fucking privileged. They think everyone's an idiot and they are not. And then they fucking fall to the worst, most stupid scam that anyone who has never even seen $50,000 of their life would know not to fucking trust.
Well, and also, like, it's just interesting because she has that quote that's like, people who fall for scams are usually of low financial literacy, but I'm not. And it's like, I don't know. I think that someone who falls for this is of low finance. What is financial literacy exactly to you if not that you don't know that, like, Amazon isn't going to pass you to the FTC, that they're going to pass you to the CIA, that the CIA isn't going to tell you you can't contact a lawyer, that the CIA isn't going to ask you to give them $50,000 in
cash?
The CIA
doesn't care about $50,000.
Yeah, why would the CIA, like to say... What she means when she says low financial literacy is, like, quote unquote, poor people who, like, they don't even have stocks. They don't even have investments.
And the thing is that, like, first of all, when you get to the fucking core of it, financial literacy is a scam in itself, because it's not that poor people are poor because, oh, they don't know how to invest. They're poor because they're not getting paid well enough and there's no fucking healthcare. Yeah. And then they think that if you teach them, like, people think, oh, if you teach them how to move their money well, no amount of moving their money well is going to get them to the point where they have $50,000 they can put in a shoebox and give it to a fucking stranger.
Exactly.
Like, they're, you know, people... whatever, they can learn how to save better, whatever, this and that. But the problem isn't that, oh, they're not illiterate. It's that they don't have enough fucking money.
Yeah, so, like, I think there are a lot of people who don't have investments, who don't have a retirement account, who probably don't have a savings account, who would know that this was a scam. So I think that the issue
I'm getting pissed.
The issue of the article is the framing. Case in point, there is, which Millie and I were talking about a little bit before we started recording, there is a story going viral right now, 52 parts, by this woman who's talking about how she, it's called Who the Fuck Did I Marry? It's going on TikTok. And it's basically great. Her talking about how her husband, this man that she married, was lying to her about
every
single thing. And what I find interesting is, obviously these are two different situations, but there are situations where people are told massive, massive lies and do ignore some red flags.
Yeah, and I think that, okay, the reason why, because it's like, why is this going so viral? It's like captivating. And in her storytelling, she's honest and she's like, look, I'm going to tell the truth, even if it makes me look bad, even if it makes me look stupid. She's like, this next part, I know it's stupid. Or this next part, I know I'm going to sound like a fucking idiot. Or, you know, and honestly, there was a really, really honest part where this woman's like pretty religious. And she's like, you know, I knew this guy had some red flags, but I ignored them because I was tired of waiting. I wanted to start my life. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have kids. And I ignored all the signs. And, like, I was tired. You know, I thought God, you know, I was tired of waiting on, like, trying to find the right guy. And I thought this was it. And I just jumped into it really fast. And that you can have more compassion for than, like, someone like, I would never. And everyone else who falls for something is stupid. Instead of being like, no, you know what? I reflected and I realized that, like, I was impatient and I did like a lot, whatever, and this and that. And it took me a long time to wrap my head because really, again, it's 52 parts. I'm on part 33, which is crazy. And she's just getting to like where she kicked him out the house.
Yeah. So I read a summary of it. I did not watch all the parts, but I watched her last part. And she talks a lot about the stuff that you are talking about. There's a level of self-reflection to the story where she goes into what is missing from this cut piece. And she says, like, this is what is unique to me and what was going on within me and in my own life that made me ignore these red flags, that made me vulnerable to this person who now, obviously looking back and telling the story, this is a crazy story. He was lying. Like, I should have been able to see it. But like you said, she says, you know, I wanted to be chosen. I wanted to be that girl who has the husband that's going to fly her to London, that's going to buy her the car, that's going to buy her the house. And I let myself be kind of like dazzled and swept up by that. And she has a level of honesty about why that is. And she's not saying like, my husband lied to me and it could happen to anyone. She's saying, this is a really crazy thing that happened to me. And here's why I think it happened to me.
And I want to help people and so it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah. And like, I want to tell my story for whatever small subset of people like this could end up happening to. It doesn't have this air of like, well, if I, an Ivy League financial analyst, could be tricked, then that means all of you rubes reading this are you probably have a $50,000 in a shoebox right now.
Dumbass.
Like, so, and I just I thought it was really interesting that within the same week there are two stories about people being like the victims of kind of the elaborate set of lies, but they're received so differently.
And I think it's the, and what I think we just it's pointed the framing. Out. It's the framing.
Yeah.
And you got to be honest and transparent and empathetic to yourself and also to other people.
Yeah. And like, if the Cut wants to do an article about scams and how anyone can be scammed, that's an interesting article. Yeah. It's not this story.
And this lady like can't, her credibility is completely fucked.
Yeah, I do wonder.
She was scammed twice. She was scammed by this, but then also scammed into making this fucking article that made her look so stupid and illegitimate. I will never take financial advice from this woman.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see if she's like able to continue writing about financial articles.
And I, again, Michael or her husband needs to get a divorce. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of intense couples counseling sessions happening. I would be pissed if I found out that
if Danny sent $50,000 in a shoebox,
I would say you have $50,000.
No, I feel like he might not live.
He wouldn't be living at our apartment.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He would be living elsewhere. Certainly.
Well, yeah, back to last week again. He'd be on the floor of a futon.
Yeah,
with a futon on the floor.
Yeah, I'd say I'm taking the bed frame. I'm taking the mattress. Everything. You can go back
to the
go back to that railroad apartment in Greenpoint.
Oh Jesus!
Enjoy it.
Well,
doesn't have its own door. Your roommate has to walk through to get through the kitchen.
Jesus Christ! Oh my God!
All right, so that was the discourse for today.
Wow!
And what a discourse it was.
I feel heavy in my spirit.
This segment is called What the Musk? And this is where we talk about and kind of check in on what the hell is going on with Twitter overlord Elon Musk. So yeah. This is going to be a short and sweet segment today, but we do need to check in.
Yeah, and speaking of Joe Biden,
Joe Biden factors heavily. This is kind of like a subsection of Polititalk, Polititiktok. Joe Biden features heavily in this story. So basically, Business Insider posted an excerpt from a new book by Zoe Schiffer called Extremely Hardcore, which gives a play-by-play of Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter. The excerpt came out this week, and it describes blowback. Basically, it describes how Elon Musk last year, for mm-hmm. last Super Bowl, mm-hmm. he tweeted, "Go Eagles."
Yeah.
Classic sentiment.
Yeah, because I feel like cool people like the Eagles.
But that tweet didn't get as much attention
as
Joe Biden's tweet.
Well,
that also said go Eagles. But it was like also there was more to it. He was like, my wife, Jill, is a Philly girl.
He's like from Delaware and all this shit. Yeah. Like they are Eagles
fans.
He's
also the president of the United States.
And naturally and like is hated a lot less than Elon Musk is.
So Elon Musk got so mad that his tweet did not do as well as Joe Biden's tweet that he deleted the tweet, flew immediately from the Super Bowl to Twitter HQ, where he allegedly told developers to change the algorithm to prioritize his tweets. So the next day, Schiffer, the woman who wrote the book, she wakes up and she notices, as one does, especially if you're a tech reporter, that her entire feed is just like Elon Musk saying stuff about Dogecoin, all of his replies, blah, blah, blah. So she tweets, is everyone else's entire For You page Elon replies? And she gets a text from an unknown number saying that they're a Twitter employee and they have details to share if she's interested. So she says,
She's interested,
but she does say this. This is a quote. In a past life, the message would have made me ecstatic, but I'd grown wary since reporting on Elon Musk. Nearly every time I published a story about the CEO, my messages flooded with angry dispatches from his fans. It wasn't hard to imagine that one might try to trick me, trying to pose as a possible source. So she verifies the identity and basically gets this story that Elon Musk was mad about the engagement. He fired an engineer over it and has basically been making all the engineers work round the clock to boost this post. She gets forwarded a document titled All Hands on Deck.
Oh my God.
That is dedicated to figuring out why Joe Biden's tweet did better than Elon Musk's tweet, which is so crazy. She publishes the story. A couple days go by, then Elon basically freaks out. He's like, your source was a disgruntled employee who'd been on PTO for months. They already accepted a job at Google. We're going to take legal action against them. Schiffer knows that that's not true and that the source was a current, like, she had verified that they were a current employee. And basically, like, the rest of the story, you can read it. It's in Business Insider. It details kind of her back and forth with Musk, his supporters. There's also, like, this other whistleblower that the Washington Post reported on that's involved. But it ends with the quote, in some ways, my story had already played right into his hands, making him the main character of the day.
Mm-hmm.
First, Twitter had been full of Musk tweets. Then it was full of tweets complaining that there were too many Musk tweets. Then my reporting explaining what had happened just drew attention back to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really interesting because at the end of the day, I feel like he just bought Twitter so that he could be the king of Twitter.
This is what he wanted. And that's why she wrote the whole book, is because, like, what happens when billionaires buy products that we use all the time and try to make it ours? And also, it's kind of like the Donald Trump kind of thing, prophecy, where it's like, you better be careful what you wish for, because you want to be the center of attention. You get good attention and bad attention. And Donald Trump, you want to be president? That means people are going to be looking into your shit.
Yeah.
And now the only way, even though you fucking did not want to be president, you hated being president, you hated the actual work, you hated being an elected official.
Yes.
He liked being president.
But he wanted to be the most famous person in the world, and he got that.
He got that, but most people do not fucking like him.
Yeah.
And now we're all looking into his shit and all his bank accounts.
He doesn't get to hang out with celebrities anymore.
He owes E.J. Carroll $83 million. New York, like $350 million.
Yeah,
like, he's fucked, and the only way out of it is that he's become president again or he's going to jail.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny that it's like parallel to Elon Musk, and then also parallel to our first story, where it's like, this girl wasn't sure if it was a scam, so she verified it. And that's something that our friend Charlotte at The Cut could do.
Yeah.
Is to just verify it from a different source, because you are a fucking journalist.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what the Musk indeed. And it's like, yeah, you want to be main character. Main character means everyone's talking shit about you.
Yeah, main character means everybody notices what you're up to. And main character means you don't get to just, like, fuck around on here anymore.
Yeah. Well.
Is it time?
It's time. Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey.
Wow, that sounded just like her.
No, it didn't.
No, Millie,
you.
That was really good.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I remember one time I got, like, I saw something for Hamilton, and I was like they were looking for rappers and they wanted, like, improv people, and someone sent me. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll show up. My friend was like, do not go.
Do not go try to be in
do
Hamilton.
Do not go. Do not listen. You're no.
Ariana, like, DeBose. Okay. Ariana DeBose well, comes from Hamilton.
Okay.
Almost and, 1 year ago when she did her iconic.
Yeah. Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett did the thing.
It did the thing. Listen, we're going to wrap up our show.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's time for Grasshole of the week. And this is our segment where we tell someone kindly or unkindly to go outside and touch grass.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's grasshole was hard because we always have a few candidates. And it was very closely going to be Benihana, the man who at 54 years old left his family to become a break dancer and now who's feuding with his daughter on TikTok.
Yes. And Elon Musk replied to that. Elon Musk is involved, being like, you rock, Benihana.
Yeah, and like all the deadbeat dads are chiming in. But alas.
And all of them verified because all of them paid for
Twitter.
For Twitter.
Including Elon Musk, who paid for Twitter the most. Anyway.
No one paid more for that blue check than Elon Musk.
Well, exactly. Also, like, if I could yell at... if I post something and someone posts the other and I can, like, yell at a bunch of people and get someone fired because someone gets more attention than me, like, that would be pretty
funny. It is intoxicating.
Yeah.
It is an intoxicating power.
I just want to know who unfollowed me again so I can unfollow them back. Mm-hmm. But whatever. Anyway... this week's grasshole goes to Brandon Howard.
Wow.
CEO of ParchmentPaper.com. Do you know any of this?
I don't know any of it.
Well,
I'm coming in cold.
You're coming in cold, and that's how we like you to come in. It all started from the TikTok at Dine in Toronto, which is, again, this TikTok is a very, very cute Indian girl named Rupika Sudan, who posts basic influencer things like good restaurants in Toronto. It's all like Toronto based. She's Indian. She's cute. Like, wear the nice bars and like whatever cute family stuff. She posted a video of her dad making her food. And we're just going to watch what happened after she posted this really sweet video of her Indian father making her food.
Okay, I don't normally make videos like this. I posted a video yesterday of my dad cooking for me with these hex clad pans that we had gotten. There was a comment on there where the person goes, must be tough living a life on easy mode. I also didn't think the comment was rude at first, so I responded with, lucky to have parents who make it possible. And they responded, yeah, we get it. You have no skills and family money. And at that point, I'm just like, okay, what the hell? Like, maybe this account is hacked, because from a business account, that seems kind of weird. So I send them an email and I'm like, hey, like, I think somebody's on your business account, like, leaving cyberbullying comments. Didn't say anything else. That was it. And then I get an email from the CEO of parchmentpaper.com, and he says, I don't consider stating factual information cyberbullying. If you're offended over a comment about having no skill set while getting to frolic through life with family money is bullying, I'd call the cyber bully police, delete the comment, and move along. Cheers. Brandon Howard. How sweet of you to include founder and CEO in all of your information, actually. Thank you for letting me know that I get to frolic through life. Considering my parents literally grew up in mud huts, worked their ass off to get out of India, get us here, and get me to the position that I am and able to have a full-time job and a side career. Then he goes back to the page and goes, cyberbullying is even more funny, and the fact that you emailed us to tell us is actually hilarious. Enjoy frolicking through life and leave the rest up to us adults who create actual economic value without a trust. I can't know whether to laugh or to be angry at this point, because just by the name Brandon Howard, I can tell what kind of person this is and what kind of upbringing they have. So to sit there and tell me to be frolicking through life when you as a CEO have enough time to do this, it just bothers me that these are the people in power. These are the actual people with money, and this is how their mentality works. The fact that you're leaving these comments tells me you're really miserable. And as an adult, I hope you seek the help that you need to find that happiness. Just grow up, dude. Like,
all right. So thoughts on that?
That is so, I'm like shook by that, because first of all, I just don't understand why he like perceives her to be living life on easy mode, frolicking through life, because she does like restaurant reviews,
because her dad made her, she was in a nice apartment and her dad made her dinner, and that brought something out in him.
Because I'm just like, I don't know, having your dad make you dinner doesn't seem like an elite activity.
Elise, and I looked at the original of a photo, and it's literally like a stir fry. Like, her dad made her chicken and vegetable stir fry.
And she, like, lives in a nice apartment, but like, there's no way this guy who's the CEO of a company doesn't like live in a nice house.
Well, or Elise, apartment. Elise, let me tell you something about Grasshole. If it was one comment or one little series of things that a Grasshole does not make.
Oh, but no.
But you know that it keeps going.
Oh no.
So Rupika's video goes viral and a bunch of people start leaving parchmentpaper.com bad reviews. Rupika then goes on TikTok and says death threats are not okay, but that she got a legal notice from parchmentpaper.com that says that they're worried about the safety of their employees, and if she doesn't remove the defamatory things she posted on TikTok, they will take legal action.
It's not defamation to just say a real, show a real email and a real, like, you were making public comments, you replied with your information. That's not defamation. If you're worried about the safety of your employees, don't comment from your company account and, well, reply.
Elise, that's exactly what she said. It's not defamation. And also that the email came from info@parchmentpaper.com, but the email was signed legal department at parchmentpaper.com, and they forgot the dot. So there was a typo in that. So she posted and said, you guys forgot the typo. And then a day later, she posts another video that says he emailed her again and said it was copy and pasted legal doc and that he forgot to fill out the template. So in it, it says, you need to stop, insert legal information, like insert contact information here. And he also issued her a cease and desist. Yes, he spelled cease, S-E-I-Z-E, and not cease and desist.
A cease and desist.
Which is C-E-A-S-E.
Cease and desist is really funny.
Cease and
desist.
That's
a good improv team name.
Cease and desist. Exactly. Then a day later, he fixed the typos. So he sent another email. It's the third day. And he fixed the typos. And then it was signed rocketlawyer.com.
I'm sorry. This is so crazy. Is he the only employee of parchmentpaper.com?
I don't know. But
CEO, legal, email. Like, it seems like he's the only person running day-to-day operations and also any operations at parchmentpaper.com.
So then Rupika calls Rocket Lawyer and they're like, because she's like, she's never heard of the company. I think we know it's like a it's a website you can go and get templates.
Yeah.
She does. She's never heard of it. So she calls. She's like, somebody's calling. Like, and then they're like, this is probably a scam. So,
wow.
So they, okay. So then.
Well, so you then always got a call.
She doesn't know who, but somebody uses her work email and signs her up for porn sites and Scientology newsletters. But.
I'm sorry.
So Rupika was able to trace the IP address from those accounts and where they were made from. And it was, of course, California or Laguna Beach, California, specifically where Brandon Howard's email and where Brandon Howard is from.
Wow.
So there you go. And there's more. But I bring up that she's Indian because it does add some context of, like, Brandon Howard's a white man who grew up, who's from Laguna Beach, California. That's where I went to college. Like, Aliso Viejo is near Laguna Beach. And it's a lot of, like, crazy conservative white people who are, like, whatever.
I mean, clearly he saw a video of a very innocuous situation and it really brought out in him this feeling of, like, this woman does not deserve to be in a nice apartment with her nice dad. And you have to ask yourself
why he believes that
he would be, because he made an enormous amount of assumptions about her. Like, you frolic through life, you're in a trust fund. It's like,
you don't bring any value to the world. That's the thing that gets me.
And but parchmentpaper.com is bringing that much economic value to the world. Like, she's promoting small businesses at least by, like, going around to bars and, like, reviewing them and stuff. Like, what the fuck is parchmentpaper.com?
Well, Elise, he also has another company called blacklabelpaper.com, and he has been responding to hate comments from that. So he looped in his second thing, and I'm just going to read. He posted this Instagram story that says,
"The office makes you think that paper people are cool.
And but they're all crazy.
That they're all low-key. Nope. And it turns out the paper people are crazy.
Nuts." So this is what he posted. "All you fucking losers need to stop messaging about a fake TikTok account made by Dine and Toronto and her dumbass minions, because her fragile little ego couldn't handle a couple of smart ass comments on IG about skill set and money. I never had that commie bullshit app TikTok in my entire life. And then there's that guy who..."
I'm sorry, this is posted from his other company?
I know, so he looked in his second company. He's an idiot. So, okay, there's a guy named Dinesh, who is really popular on TikTok for outing racists. So if, like, a Karen kicks people out of the pool or something, mm-hmm. like, there's a
he'll
video of that.
Her.
He'll find her and, like, post her address and her job.
I think I've seen
job.
That guy.
So, this is what he says. "And tell that little..." Derogatory term for small person, "bobblehead Dinesh guy, to get off my nuts. Fucking losers, I swear. It's been 2 weeks almost, and I still have to deal with this childish bullshit. She's too immature to settle this privately. I'm not going to let some woke hate mob ruin my reputation because they live in some mystical fairyland of make-believe, and because they think they have 20,000 followers, they're doing something in life. Clown emoji, clown emoji, clown emoji." Then, Elise,
I am shaken to my core.
Yes.
By this man's behavior.
Okay. Elise, we're not done.
To have a company post, "All of you fucking losers."
Elise, you know we're almost done, but we're not. He then had a crybaby sale. So where he says he wants his thousands of real customers will appreciate this. And he put everything on sale. Custom dimensions on demand of parchment paper. Yeah. And then he added a banner on his website where you can buy parchment paper. And he has a banner on the top and it says, "We do not support woke feminist cancel culture hate mob groups who do nothing positive in our community."
This. Her initial video was of her dad making her dinner. Like, what is woke feminist? What, like, it is so crazy to me the way these people will make that about anything. You left a hate comment on a completely innocuous video. You left multiple hate comments. You chose to respond to her email with more hate. Then you sent her a lot of fake legal documents. Then you logged into another account and started to say all of this stuff. You cannot be like, it's woke feminism came
woke
for
feminism.
Me again.
Well, we have one more video and then we'll wrap it up.
Oh my God.
Because...
oh my God, my heart is pounding.
I know.
I have honestly never had to deal with somebody like this in my whole entire life. You made fun of me for living life on easy mode and my influencer life, whatever you think that I'm doing. But you want attention so freaking bad because you will not stop talking about this. You are basically the only one who is still talking about this at this point. Since my initial email to you where I thought your company was hacked, I have not tried to contact you. At first, you were laughing and sipping Mai Tais on the beach, and then you were having crybaby sales because this was drawing you so much attention, and now you are so upset at the hate mob that's coming. After you realized that your fake legal letters were not working, you thought it would be a smart idea to reach out to my boss at the agency that I work for and ask him to remediate the situation for you. You thought you could tell my boss to tell me to delete my videos. Just because you involved your business by commenting from your business profile does not mean that you get to include my place of work. When all of this failed and you thought it would be a great idea to send me one more email stating that you will deal with it as you see fit, whatever the hell that means, and then you decided to add this banner to your website, I'm sure you think that this banner is actually insulting me, but really, it's just keeping people away from your website. If you stopped and just apologized, this whole thing could have gone away. But you continue to talk about it, you continue to make stories about it, and you continually want the attention. As if all of this was not enough, you decided that you were going to start making all of your stories on your Black Label Paper account involving your other company now for no apparent reason. Take down another company, why don't you? Sure what your end game here is, and I'm not even sure that you know what your end game here is, but... in your own words, I don't have time to bicker back and forth about some nonsense comments, nor is it my problem that you're offended over them. I have honestly never had to deal with...
So, Elise, thoughts?
It's an astounding series of events.
Yeah.
Because he could have stopped at any time.
Mm-hmm.
She only sent that initial email because she truly believed his company was being hacked, because why would a paper company be leaving hate comments?
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're a guy who wants to leave hate comments, just create a fucking dummy account like anybody else.
Yeah, with no avatar, with a bunch of
numbers. Plenty of people do it. You're still a loser.
Yeah.
If you do that. But, like, you commented from your company.
Yeah.
And now you're... then you looped in your other company. Also, like, why does he have two paper companies?
Who knows? Like, I mean, that would be a good idea. When parchmentpaper.com goes down, then
you have your
Black
other paper
Label
company.
But now you looped them in, so then you fucking ruined two brands.
That is crazy. It is very interesting. This girl brought something out in him.
Yeah,
a level of hate that is very strange for the type of content and the type of influencer that she is. Because there are way bigger influencers out there who make tons of money being influencers and could be quote-unquote accused of living life on easy mode, and he chose her.
Yeah, that are doing, like, actual offensive things or saying stupid things all the time. Like,
or just
talk
doing,
about
like, basic nothing. Who are just doing, like, dances or just doing get ready with me's or
no,
whatever.
No, but I'm saying there are influencers who have bigger followings who actually say offensive things that, like, kind of you can see why they get some ire and hate. But this was a girl who lives... this guy lives in Laguna Beach, like, and this girl's in Toronto. Like, who cares about some, like, an influencer, a micro influencer who doesn't even live in your city? Like, how do you even get served this shit? So it, and I'm just, I bring up, it's like, I don't think it has nothing to do with race either. I think there's some racial overtones here, sexism, all of that.
It's very strange that this woman in particular created this much ire in him when there are a million white girl influencer accounts with more followers who do the exact same thing or less. They don't even, he's like concerned about small businesses. She's promoting small businesses. There are white girl influencer accounts that just like
pro Shein outfits.
Yeah, exactly. And like he could, I don't think it would be cool for him to leave them hate comments either, because they're not really like they're bothering ones that are, they're anybody, not really bothering anybody. But it, there is a reason why this particular person brought that ire out in him, and we can all speculate as to why.
And also that, like, her dad, like, and the thing too is, like, her dad made her dinner. Her dad was wearing like a religious turban. Like, I'm like, that also has
that's also got to be part of something.
And then I'm also just like, maybe this guy's like has an issue with his dad. I don't know, but
something
doesn't
deep.
Matter. Because guess what, Brandon? You need to go fucking touch grass.
Go touch grass.
You need to go outside.
Log off.
Log off.
All the accounts.
All the accounts. Talk to your friends. Be like, oh my God, this girl's so annoying. This girl's stupid. Like, text, you know, send it to your friends. Your friends probably are just as dumb and evil as you.
I think you're being very generous to say that he has friends.
In Orange County, he has friends. In Orange County, he has friends. There's a lot of people, like, these are people who did the anti-mask rallies, like, in Orange County, California. Like, yeah, sure. He has, he's among his friends. Like, there's no world. This man could die in 50 years and never even cross paths or be in the same place as at Dine in Toronto. Like,
yeah, that's
so it's just like, you just log off. If you don't like something, scroll past it. If it really bothers you, copy link, send it to your friend. Be like, this is crazy.
There were so many opportunities for him to stop this situation. And instead, he sent a cease and desist. I mean,
there you go. Well,
listen to your bloops, people.
Listen to your bloops.
You got, that is the moral of this episode, is you gotta listen to your bloops.
And your, we are animals. Human beings are animals, and we have gut like instincts. Mm-hmm. And our, those are our bloops. And our bloops are saying, if the bloop is telling you to fucking log off, log off.
Yeah, bloop, you're being scammed. Bloop, bloop, log off.
Bloop, this guy's a loser.
Yeah.
Bloop, this guy might be a pathological liar.
Your husband might be a pathological liar.
Well,
that's the end of the episode. Guys, this has been another episode of Go Touch Grass. You can follow us on all platforms at Go Touch Grass Pod. You can follow me on Instagram at Pandalise and on TikTok at Elise Navidad.
You can follow me on Instagram at Millie_Tamaris and at TikTok at Millie_Tamaris, or on Twitter, which sadly I'm still am, mm-hmm. and I'm having a great
time.
And
her tweets are being suppressed. My tweets are being suppressed.
I know they are. They are. But you can follow me on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. There's still some fun. Listen, when the cut article came out, Twitter was fun again.
Twitter was fun.
So
that's the thing, is that as much as Elon has destroyed Twitter, it's still a place where discourse is discoursing.
So that's why I'm there.
And we're there at Go Touch Grass Pod, like we said.
And don't forget to, if you want more, like, we have a Patreon.
We do have
a Patreon. Our last episode was about Shrimp Guy.
Right. Our last episode was a search history about Shrimp Guy, which was a lot. It was a guy who found cinnamon toast, or shrimp in a cinnamon toast crunch.
Did he? We don't
know.
We gotta listen to the Patreon.
We are on the road to 100.
Yes.
Leave us a 5-star review. Yeah. If it's a 5-star review, we might take your suggestions.
Yeah, if it's 3 or 2.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not, you're mean.
Yeah, we're not. You can leave it, but we're not going to take your suggestions the way we took Mimi Jeff's suggestion.
Of course.
And again, shout out to Mimi Jeff, our
5-star
reviewer.
Shout out to Mimi Jeff. All right, everyone, that was it. Remember,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.